Yea, verily, we ought to give honor to them by raising temples to God in their name, bringing them fruit offerings, honoring their memories, and taking spiritual delight in them, in order that the joy of those who call on us may be ours, that in our attempts at worship we may not on the contrary cause them offense. For those who worship God will take pleasure in those things whereby God is worshipped, while his shield-bearers will be wrath at those things wherewith God is wroth. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs 8, in contrition and in pity for the needy, let us believers 9, worship the saints as God also is most worshipped in such wise. Let us raise monuments to them and visible images, and let us ourselves become, through imitation of their virtues, living monuments and images of them. Let us give honor to her who bore God, as being strictly and truly the mother of God. Let us honor also the prophet John as forerunner and Baptist 1, as apostle and martyr. 4. Among them that are born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist 2, as saith the Lord, and he became the first to proclaim the kingdom. Let us honor the apostles as the Lord's brothers, who saw him face to face and ministered to his passion, for whom God the Father did foreknow he also did predestine it to be conformed to the image of his Son 3, first apostles, second prophets 4, third pastors and teachers 5. Let us also honor the martyrs of the Lord chosen out of every class as soldiers of Christ, who have drunk his cup and were then baptized with the baptism of his life bringing in death, to be partakers of his passion and glory, of whom the leader is Stephen, the first deacon of Christ and apostle, and first martyr. Also let us honor our holy fathers, the God-possessed ascetics, whose struggle was the longer and more toilsome one of the conscience, who wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth, of whom the world was not worthy. 6. Let us honor those who were prophets before grace, the patriarchs and just men who foretold the Lord's coming. Let us carefully review the life of these men, and let us emulate their faith. 7. And love and hope and zeal and way of life, and endurance of sufferings and patience even to blood, in order that we may be sharers with them in their crowns of glory. Chapter 16. Concerning images 8. But since some 9 find fault with us for worshipping and honoring the image of our Savior and that of our Lady, and those, too, of the rest of the saints and servants of Christ, let them remember that in the beginning God created man after his own image 1. On what grounds, then, do we show reverence to each other unless because we are made after God's image? For as Basil, that much versed expounder of divine things, says, the honor given to the image passes over to the prototype too. Now a prototype is that which is imaged, from which the derivative is obtained. Why was it that the Mosaic people honored on all hands the tabernacle 3, which bore an image and type of heavenly things, or rather of the whole creation? God indeed said to Moses, look, that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount 4. The cherubim, too, which o'ershadow the mercy seat, are they not the work of men's hands? 5. What, further, is the celebrated temple at Jerusalem? Is it not handmade and fashioned by the skill of men? 6. Moreover, the divine scripture blames those who worship graven images, but also those who sacrifice to demons. The Greeks sacrificed, and the Jews also sacrificed, but the Greeks to demons, and the Jews to God. And the sacrifice of the Greeks was rejected and condemned, but the sacrifice of the just was very acceptable to God. For Noah sacrificed, and God smelled a sweet savor 7, receiving the fragrance of the right choice and good will towards him. And so the graven images of the Greeks, since they were images of deities, were rejected and forbidden. But besides this, who can make an imitation of the invisible, incorporeal, uncircumscribed, formless God? Therefore to give form to the deity is the height of folly and impiety, and hence it is that in the Old Testament the use of images was not common, but after God 8, in his bowels of pity became in truth man for our salvation, not as he was seen by Abraham, in the semblance of a man, nor as he was seen by the prophets, but in being truly man, and after he lived upon the earth, and dwelt among men 9, worked miracles, suffered, was crucified, rose again, and was taken back to heaven, since all these things actually took place, and were seen by men. They were written for the remembrance and instruction of us who were not alive at that time, in order that though we saw not, we may still, hearing and believing, obtain the blessing of the Lord. But seeing that not everyone has a knowledge of letters nor time for reading, the fathers gave their sanction to depicting these events on images as being acts of great heroism, in order that they should form a concise memorial of them, often, doubtless, when we have not the Lord's passion in mind, and see the image of Christ as crucifixion, his saving passion is brought back to remembrance, and we fall down and worship not the material, but that which is imaged, just as we do not worship the material of which the Gospels are made, nor the material of the cross, but that which these typify. For wherein does the cross, that typifies the Lord, differ from a cross, that does not do so? It is just the same also in the case of the mother of the Lord. For the honor which we give to her is referred to him who was made of her incarnate. And similarly also the brave acts of holy men stir us up to be brave, and to emulate and imitate their valor, and to glorify God. For as we said, the honor that is given to the best of fellow servants is a proof of good will towards our common lady, and the honor rendered to the image passes over to the prototype one. But this is an unwritten tradition too, just as is also the worshipping towards the east, and the worship of the cross, and very many other similar things. A certain tale 3:2 is told for how that when Augarus V was king over the city of the Aedesin, he sent a portrait painter to paint the likeness of the Lord, and when the painter could not paint because of the brightness that shone from his countenance, the Lord himself put a garment over his own divine and life-giving face, and impressed on it an image of himself, and sent this to Augarus to satisfy us his desire. Moreover, that the apostles handed down much that was unwritten, Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, tells us in these words, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught of us, whether by word, or by epistle 6. And to the Corinthians he writes, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the traditions, as I have delivered them to you." 7. Chapter 17. Concerning Scripture 8. It is one and the same God whom both the Old and the New Testament proclaim, who is praised and glorified in the Trinity, "I am come, saith the Lord, not to destroy life law, but to fulfill it." 9. For he himself worked out our salvation, for which all Scripture and all mystery exists. And again, "Search the Scriptures, for they are they that testify of me." 1. And the apostle says, "God, who, at sundry times, and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son too, through the Holy Spirit." Therefore, both the law, and the prophets, the evangelists, and apostles and pastors and teachers, spake. All Scripture, then, is given by inspiration of God, and is also assuredly profitable. 3. Wherefore, to search the Scriptures is a work most fair and most profitable for souls. For just as the tree planted by the channels of waters, so also the soul watered by the divine Scripture is enriched, and gives fruit in its season. 4. Viz. Orthodox belief, and is adorned with evergreen leafage, I mean, actions pleasing to God. For through the Holy Scriptures we are trained to action that is pleasing to God, and untroubled contemplation. For in these we find both exhortation to every virtue and dissuasion from every vice. If, therefore, we are lovers of learning, we shall also be learned in many things. For by care and toil and the grace of God the Giver, all things are accomplished. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. 5. Wherefore let us knock at that very fair garden of the Scriptures, so fragrant and sweet, and blooming, with its varied sounds of spiritual and divinely inspired birds ringing all round our ears, laying hold of our hearts, comforting the mourner, pacifying the angry, and filling him with joy everlasting, which sets our mind on the gold gleaming, brilliant back of the divine Dove 6, whose bright pinions bear up to the only begotten Son and Heir of the Husbandman 7. Of that spiritual vineyard, and bring us through him to the Father of lights 8. But let us not knock carelessly, but rather zealously, and constantly, lest knocking we grow weary, for thus it will be open to us. If we read once or twice and do not understand what we read, let us not grow weary, but let us persist, let us talk much, let us inquire. For ask thy Father, he saith, and he will show thee thy elders, and they will tell thee. 9. For there is not in every man that knowledge. 1. Let us draw of the fountain of the garden perennial and purest water springing into life eternal. 2. Here let us luxuriate, let us revel in satiate, for the Scriptures possess inexhaustible grace. But if we are able to pluck anything profitable from outside sources, there is nothing to forbid that. Let us become tried money dealers, heaping up the true and pure gold, and discarding the spurious. Let us keep the fairest sayings, but let us throw to the dogs absurd gods and strange myths, for we might prevail most mightily against them through themselves. Observe further 3, that there are 22 books of the Old Testament, one for each letter of the Hebrew tongue, for there are 22 letters of which 5 are double, and so they come to be 27, for the letters Kaf, Mir, Nun, Pei 4, Sod are double, and thus the number of the books in this way is 22, but is found to be 27, because of the double character of 5, for Ruth is joined onto Judges, and the Hebrews count them one book. The first and second books of Kings are counted one, and so are the third and fourth books of Kings, and also the first and second of Paralei-Pimenach, and the first and second of Esdras. In this way, then, the books are collected together in 4 Pentateuchs, and 2 others remain over, to form thus the canonical books. 5 of them are of the law, viz. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This which is the code of the law, constitutes the first Pentateuch. Then comes another Pentateuch, the so-called Graphea 5, or, as they are called by some, the Hagiographa, which are the following: Jesus the son of Nave 6, Judges, along with Ruth, 1st and 2nd Kings, which are one book, 3rd and 4th Kings, which are one book, and the two books of the Paralei-Pimenah 7, which are one book. This is the second Pentateuch. The third Pentateuch is the books in verse, viz. Job, Psalms, Proverbs of Solomon, Ecclesiastes of Solomon, and the Song of Songs of Solomon. The fourth Pentateuch is the prophetical books, viz. The 12 prophets constituting one book, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Then come the two books of Esdras 8:2-1, and Esther 8. There are also the Panaretus, that is the wisdom of Solomon, and the wisdom of Jesus, which was published in Hebrew, by the father of Sirach, and afterwards translated into Greek, by his grandson, Jesus, the son of Sirach. These are virtuous and noble, but are not counted, nor were they placed in the ark. The New Testament contains 4 Gospels, that according to Matthew, that according to Mark, that according to Luke, that according to John. The Acts of the Holy Apostles by Luke the Evangelist, 7 Catholic Epistles, viz. 1 of James, 2 of Peter, 3 of John, 1 of Jude, 14 Letters of the Apostle Paul. The Revelation of John the Evangelist. The Canons 9 of the Holy Apostles. 1 by Clement. Chapter 18. Regarding the things said concerning Christ. The things said concerning Christ fall into 4 generic modes. For some fit him even before the incarnation, others in the union, others after the union, and others after the resurrection. Also of those that refer to the period before the incarnation there are 6 modes, for some of them declare the union of nature and the identity in essence with the Father, as this, I and my Father are one. To also this, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. 3, and this, who being in the form of God. 4, and so forth. Others declare the perfection of subsistence, as these, Son of God, and the express image of his person. 5, and Messenger of Great Counsel, Wonderful Counselor. 6, and the like. Again, others declare the indwelling. 7, of the subsistences in one another, as, I am in the Father, and the Father in me. 8, and the inseparable foundation. 9, as, for instance, the word, wisdom, power, effulgence. For the word is inseparably established in the mind, and it is the essential mind that I mean, and so also is wisdom, and power, in him that is powerful, and effulgence, in the light, all springing forth from these. 1. And others make known the fact of his origin, from the Father as cause, for instance, my Father is greater than I. 2, for from him he derives both his being, and all that he has. 3, his being was by generative and not by creative means, as, I came forth from the Father, and am come. 4. And I live by the Father. 3. But all that he hath is not his, by free gift, or by teaching, but in a causal sense, as, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. 6. For if the Father is not, neither is the Son. For the Son is of the Father, and in the Father, and with the Father, and not after. 7. The Father, in like manner also what he doeth is of him, and with him. For there is one, and the same, not similar, but the same, will and energy and power, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Moreover, other things are said as though the Father's good will was fulfilled 8 through his energy, and not as through an instrument or servant, but as through his essential and hypostatic word and wisdom and power, because but one action. 9 is observed in Father and Son, as for example, all things were made by him. 9, and he sent his word and healed them. 1, and that they may believe that thou hast sent me. 2. Some, again, have a prophetic sense, and of these some are in the future tense. For instance, he shall come openly, 3, and this from Zechariah, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, 4, and this from Micah, behold, the Lord cometh out of his place and will came down and tread upon the high places of the earth, 5. But others, though future, are put in the past tense, as, for instance, this is our God, therefore he was seen upon the earth, and dwell among men, 6, and the Lord created me in the beginning of his ways for his work, 7, and wherefore God, by God, anointed thee with the oil of gladness, above thy fellows, 8, and such like. The things said, then, that refer to the period before the union will be applicable to him even after the union, but those that refer to the period after the union will not be applicable at all before the union, unless indeed in a prophetic sense, as we said. Those that refer to the time of the union have 3 modes, for when our discourse deals with the higher aspect, we speak of the deification of the flesh, and his assumption of the word, and exceeding exaltation, and so forth, making manifest the riches that are added to the flesh tram the union and natural conjunction with the Most High God the Word, and when our discourse deals with the lower aspect, we speak of the incarnation of God the Word, his becoming man, his emptying of himself, his poverty, his humility. For these and such like are imposed upon the Word and God through his admixture with humanity. When again we keep both sides in view at the same time, we speak of union, community, anointing, natural conjunction, confirmation, and the like. The former 2 modes, then, have their reason in this 3rd mode. For through the union it is made clear what either has obtained from the intimate junction with and permeation through the other. For through the union 9, in subsistence the flesh is said to be deified and to become God, and to be equally God with the Word, and God the Word is said to be made flesh and to become man, and is called creature, and last one, not in the sense that the two natures are converted into one compound nature, for it is not possible for the opposite natural qualities to exist at the same time in one nature too, but in the sense that the two natures are united in subsistence and permeate one another without confusion or transmutation. The permeation 3, moreover, did not come of the flesh, but of the divinity, for it is impossible that the flesh should permeate through the divinity, but the divine nature, once permeating through the flesh, gave also to the flesh the same ineffable power of permeation, 4, and this indeed is what we call union. Note, too, that in the case of the first and second modes of those that belong to the period of the union, reciprocation is observed, for when we speak about the flesh, we use the terms deification and assumption of the Word, and exceeding exaltation and anointing. For these are derived from divinity, but are observed in connection with the flesh, and when we speak about the Word, we use the terms emptying, incarnation, becoming man, humility, and the like, and these, as we said, are imposed on the Word and God through the flesh, for he endured these things in person of his own free will. Of the things that refer to the period after the union, there are 3 modes. The first declares his divine nature, as, I am in the Father, and the Father in me, 5, and I and the Father are 1, 6, and all those things which are affirmed of him before his assumption of humanity, these will be affirmed of him even after his assumption of humanity, with this exception, that he did not assume the flesh and its natural properties. The second declares his human nature, as, now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, 7, and even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, 8, and the like. Further, of the statements made and written about Christ the Savior, after the manner of men, whether they deal with sayings or actions, there are 6 modes. For some of them were done or said naturally in accordance with the incarnation, for instance, his birth from a virgin, his growth and progress with age, his hunger, thirst, weariness, fear, sleep, piercing with nails, death, and all such like natural and innocent passions, 9. For in all these there is a mixture of the divine and human, although they are held to belong in reality to the body, the divine suffering none of these, but procuring through them our salvation. Others are of the nature of ascription, 9, as Christ asked question, where have you laid Lazarus, 1, his running to the fig tree, his shrinking, that is, his drawing back, his praying, and his making, as though he would have gone he in need of these or similar things, but only because his form was that of a man, as necessity and expediency demanded, 3. For example, the praying was to show that he is not opposed to God, for he gives honor to the Father as the cause of himself, 4, and the question was not put in ignorance, but to show that he is in truth man as well as God, 5, and the drawing back is to teach us not to be impetuous, nor to give ourselves up. Others again are said in the manner of association and relation 5, as, My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? 6, and he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. 7, and being made a curse for us. 8, also, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him. 9, for neither as God nor as man 1, was he ever forsaken by the Father, nor did he become sin, or a curse, nor did he require to be made subject to the Father. For as God he is equal to the Father, and not opposed to him, nor subjected to him, and as God, he was never at any time disobedient to his begetter, to make it necessary for him, to make him subject to, appropriating, then, our person, and ranking himself with us, he used these words, For we are bound in the fetters of sin, and the curse as faithless and disobedient, and therefore forsaken. Others are said by reason of distinction in thought, For if you divide in thought things that are inseparable in actual truth, to cut the flesh from the word, the terms servant and ignorant are used of him, for indeed he was of a subject and ignorant nature, and except that it was united with God the word, his flesh was servile and ignorant. 3. But because of the union and subsistence with God the word, it was neither servile nor ignorant. In this way, too, he called the Father his God. Others again are for the purpose of revealing him to us and strengthening our faith, as, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. 4. For he himself was glorified, and is glorified, but his glory was not manifested nor confirmed to us, also that which the apostle said, declared, to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. 5. For by the miracles and the resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, it was manifested and confirmed to the world, that he is the Son of God. 6. And this 2:7, the child grew in wisdom and grace. 8. Others again have reference to his appropriation of the personal life of the Jews, in numbering himself among the Jews, as he saith to the Samaritan woman, Ye worship, you know not what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. 9. The third mode is one which declares the one subsistence, and brings out the dual nature. For instance, And I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. 1. And this I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. 2. And this they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 3. And this, and no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. 4. And such like. Again, of the affirmations that refer to the period after the resurrection, some are suitable to God, as baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. 5. For here Son is clearly used as God also. This, And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. 6. And other similar ones, For he is with us as God. Others are suitable to man, as, They held him by the feet. 7. And there they will see me. 8. And so forth. Further, of those referring to the period after the resurrection that are suitable to man, there are different modes. For some did actually take place, yet not according to nature. 9. But according to dispensation, in order to confirm the fact that the very body which suffered rose again. Such are the wheels, the eating, and the drinking after the resurrection. Others took place actually and naturally, as changing from place to place without trouble, and passing in through closed gates. Others have the character of simulation. 1. As he made, as though he would have gone further. 2. Others are appropriate to the double nature, as, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and my God, and our God. 3. And the King of glory shall cart, in 4. And he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. 5. Finally, others are to be understood as though he were ranking himself with us in the manner of a separation in pure thought, as, My God, and your God. 3. Those then that are sublime must be assigned to the divine nature, which is superior to passion and body, and those that are humble must be ascribed to the human nature, and those that are common must be attributed to the compound, that is, the one Christ, who is God and man. And it should be understood that both belong to one and the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. For if we know what is proper to each, and perceive that both are performed by one and the same, we shall have the true faith, and shall not go astray. And from all these the difference between the united natures is recognized, and the fact 6, that, as the most godly Cyril says, they are not identical in the natural quality of their divinity and humanity, But yet there is but one Son and Christ and Lord, and as he is one, he has also but one person, the unity in subsistence being in no wise broken up into parts by the recognition of the difference of the natures. Chapter 19. That God 7 is not the cause of evils. It is to be observed 8 that it is the custom in the Holy Scripture to speak of God as permission, as his energy, as when the Apostle says in the Epistle to the Romans, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor?" 9. And for this reason, that he himself makes this, or that, for he is himself alone the maker of all things, yet it is not he himself that fashions noble or ignoble things, but the personal choice of each one. 1. And this is manifest from what the same Apostle says in the second epistle to Timothy, "In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work too." And it is evident that the purification must be voluntary, for if a man, he saith, purge himself, and the consequent antistrophe responds, "If a man purge not himself, he will be a vessel to dishonor, unmeet for the master's use, and fit only to be broken in pieces." Wherefore this passage that we have quoted, "And this God hath concluded them all in unbelief," 3, "And this God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear," 4, all these must be understood not as though God himself were energizing, but as though God were permitting, both because of free will and because goodness knows no compulsion. His permission, therefore, is usually spoken of in the Holy Scripture as his energy and work, even when he says that God creates evil things, and that there is no evil in a city that the Lord hath not done. He does not mean by these words 5 that the Lord is the cause of evil, but the word evil 6 is used in two ways, with two meanings, for sometimes it means what is evil by nature, and this is the opposite of virtue and the will of God, and sometimes it means that which is evil and oppressive to our sensation, that is to say, afflictions and calamities. Now these are seemingly evil, because they are painful, but in reality are good, for to those who understand they became ambassadors of conversion and salvation. The Scripture says that of these God is the author. It is, moreover, to be observed that of these, too, we are the cause, for involuntary evils are the offspring of voluntary 1:7. This also should be recognized, that it is usual in the Scriptures, for some things, that ought to be considered as effects, to be stated in a causal sense 8, as, "Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that then mightest be justified when thou speakest, and prevail when thou judgest," 9, for the sinner did not sin in order that God might prevail, nor again did God require our sin in order that he might by it be revealed as victor 1, for above comparison he wins the victor's prize against all, even against those who are sinless, being maker, incomprehensible, uncreated, and possessing natural and not adventitious glory. But it is because when we sin God is not unjust in his anger against us, and when he pardons the penitent he is shewn victor over our wickedness. But it is not for this that we sin, but because the thing so turns out. It is just as if one were sitting at work, and a friend stood nearby, and one said, "My friend came in order that I might do no work that day." The friend, however, was not present in order that the man should do no work, but such was the result, for being occupied with receiving his friend he did not work. These things, too, are spoken of as effects, because affairs so turned out. Moreover, God does not wish that he alone should be just, but that all should, so far as possible, be made like unto him. Chapter 20. That there are not two kingdoms. That there are not two kingdoms too, one good and one bad, we shall see from this. For good and evil are opposed to one another, and mutually destructive, and cannot exist in one another, or with one another. Each of them, therefore, in its own division will belong to the whole. And first 3, they will be circumscribed, not by the whole alone, but also each of them by part of the whole. Next I ask 4, who it is that assigns 4, to each its place, for they will not affirm that they have come to a friendly agreement with, or been reconciled to, one another. For evil is not evil when it is at peace with, and reconciled to, goodness, nor is goodness good when it is on amicable terms with evil. But if he who has marked off to each of these its own sphere of action is something different from them, he must rather be God. One of two things indeed is necessary, either that they come in contact with and destroy one another, or that there exists some intermediate place, where neither goodness nor evil exists, separating both from one another, like a partition. And so there will be no longer two, but three kingdoms,